and to read together tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, find your place at verse number 10. Let's turn there and stand and read a few verses here. Paul with this Corinthian church. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus, or Stephanus, because, besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect." You can be seated. Dear Father, tonight give us wisdom, understanding, and unction from heaven. Give us the Spirit of God. Touch our hearts and minds. Lord, tonight may we listen to what's been spoken to us and what we hear from heaven. Take charge, Lord, of the preaching. Endue us, Lord, with that power. Give us that strength, that unction tonight that's needed. Lord, it might find a place in our heart. Drive it into our soul, God, that we might apply it to our heart. Live accordingly. We'll give you the glory, the praise, and the honor in Jesus' name. We ask it all. Amen. Thank God tonight for the Word of God. I want to bring a little message on tonight. Tonight, there are contentions among you. There are contentions among you. That's what Paul said. And he had heard this, and we looked together. And we'll start with this verse number 10. There was much disorder in the Corinthian church. Paul had seen it, and he's gone to it in many instances here in the Word of God. Now, verse number 10, I want to remind you that Paul now is fixing to get down to business. He's already got his salutation out of the way. He's talked to the Corinthian believers. He's been kind of mild-mannered as he's come to this part. And now he's fixing to open up and begin to preach to them the problems that they're having. In verse number 10, Paul had learned some things in his Christian ministry, as all of us do. And instead of just rolling up his sleeves and loosening his tie and jumping in, brother, he uses some words tonight that I'd just like to look at and point out to you tonight. He just done good business for the Lord. I thank God for it. He had some tender mercy with him and some tender compassion in trying to deal with these people. So he said in verse 10, "Now I beseech you, brethren." Now I beseech you, brethren. What does that mean? What's that word beseech means? It means to beg. Really, to get down to technicality, it means to, he said, "I beg of you, brethren, please." I beg of you, please. He's begging them. He's not forcing them to do it. He's just begging them. And he's begging them in verse number 10, "by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." I beg you, see, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want you to do this because I'm asking you to do it, but I want you to do it because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because you love the Lord. That's why we ought to do anything about the Bible. Our lives are to be patterned after the Word of God simply because we love the Lord. Not because we're made to do it, not because we think we have to do it, but because we want to do it, but that we love the Lord so much. Amen. And if it ever gets that way, it won't be so bad on you. We love the Savior. Paul said, "It's not for me, because you're not hurting me. It's not for the church, you're not hurting the church. You may to some extent, but not mainly. And it's not for the family of the Lord tonight, can be hurt and could be hurt, but it's not for the family. It's not for any of that. It's not even for yourself in particular. But it's for the Lord Jesus Christ because you love the Lord. Now, these people were carnal, but they loved God. Down deep inside, they loved God. Somebody said, I don't believe that's right. I don't believe that can be. But it is. I believe that's right tonight. These people were carnal believers. They were weak. They were babes in Christ. He's talked about that throughout. They'd had a little knowledge of the Lord. I believe they'd been born again. And they were going to the house of God. They had a Bible under their arm. But they got some problems starting off with tonight right here as we see it. They were low in faith. They were weak in faith. They were ignorant, but not to the sense that they were stupid. I'm not talking about that. But they were ignorant of the Scriptures. They were unschooled. They could not comprehend what the Lord wanted. They were like dumb sheep, as the Bible calls the saints of God. They had walked away from the Lord to the degree and got out there. You know what a sheep will do? It'll stray away from the fold, and it'll just keep a-looking, and the grass gets better, and it goes. And if it ever starts straying, that's what it does. It just keeps it going and going. And next thing you know, it thinks, as far as it's concerned, the flock is still behind. It looks up, and now all the flock is gone. And the flock hasn't left. He's left the flock. And so the Lord has to come finding the sheep. And that's what they had done here in Corinth. They'd got the place that they'd drifted away. They even were not aware of how far they'd even gone. They'd got away from it. Now look in verse number 10. Paul has given them something he expects they ought to do because God wants them to do some things that God wants them to do in verse number 10. Look with me. He said, first of all, he said in verse 10, that ye all speak the same thing. Have the same language. Amen. We need to speak the same thing tonight, saints. Amen. What do we speak? We speak Christ and Him crucified. That's what Paul preached. We come tonight to the house of God. We speak the same things. We're speaking about the love, the grace, the mercy, the blood of Christ, the cross, Calvary, the death, burial, and resurrection. We speak the same things. And if we don't speak the same things, we're going to have problems. The second thing he says I want you to do and what God wants you to do is that there be no divisions among you. That we stay together, unified. God wants that. He expects that. And beloved, that's what I want to do tonight at the church is stay together, be unified. Amen. I believe it's needful, don't you? And then he says this, but that you be perfectly, that's, you know, the way we ought to be perfectly, that means that without any flaws, we ought to be perfectly joined together. Be perfectly joined together. You got that? Be perfectly joined together. That's again, unification, that we're unified tonight, that we have the same mind, the same judgment. Amen. He mentions that. And we are to have the same mind and same judgment. We think the same things. Our mind should be the mind of Christ. Our judgment, in other words, what we believe about something should be the same. Now, if we'll do that, we'll be in good shape. But many times we don't do that. Now, look here with me in verse number 11. The Bible said, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. We'll look at that word contentions in a minute. But there's some divisions here. They were falling one after another. Divisions are mentioned in verse number 10. And they were divided. And division, it means it's simply a work of flesh. If there's any division in the work of God tonight, it's going to be because the flesh. It's going to be a manifestation of the flesh. The flesh is going to take over. The church is not the place for the flesh. It's a place for the Spirit of God. The Christian life is a place for the Spirit of God and not the flesh. Amen. And we're to magnify Christ through the Spirit of the living God tonight. Amen. Now, we can disagree, and many times we will disagree, but we can disagree without being disagreeable. How many times have I seen exactly what I'm fixing to preach on tonight out of this chapter happen? We got churches tonight that are sitting on pins and needles, and they're not together, and their church is about to fall apart and split, and some of them are split and don't know it. And beloved, I never want to get that place at the church. I want us to stay in one mind and one accord. Amen. But we will not always agree on everything. We can have a difference of opinion. But tonight, having a difference of opinion is not a sin. But it's when we make it a division. And that's when it causes problems. For me tonight to disagree with you and for you to disagree with me tonight is not sin. It's when we press our differences and we try to make the other walk in our shoes, or we try to get them, or they try to get us to walk in their shoes, that's when it causes division. There will be times that will come up in this church and other churches as well that we get the place in our life that we may not see everything eye to eye. We may not agree on every particular little issue. You may have been taught one thing and somebody else taught another, and we all come from different backgrounds. We come from different places. And sometimes our parents and our foreparents have taught us some things, and we've taken up what they've taught us and not really examined it from the Word of God. And there are some things that we're not clear on. There are some things tonight that you may say, or some things that I may say, and down the road, God had changed my mind and let me see the truth, and I may see it one way tonight, but it'll take the Holy Ghost of God for me to see the real truth. But one of us are going to have to change one of these days, and we're going to have to come together. It may be me, or it may be you. You understand? But that's the reason tonight we have a difference of opinion sometimes. And there's nothing wrong with having a difference of opinion, as long as we don't make it a division. Amen. Just because you don't agree on everything I say, or I don't agree on everything you say. See, division is satanic. The devil is the author of confusion. He's the one that divides. And division is condemned in the Word of God. Now, I want to give you something and make you think about it just for a minute. In the Word of God, we find two characters in particular that I want to mention right now, called Abraham and Lot. You remember them, don't you? Lot was the nephew of Abraham. And so we know Abraham was told to go out into a city, in a country, and he'd be told where he'd go, but he didn't know where he was going. And he told him to leave everything. He didn't leave Lot. He kept Lot and he traveled with him. And he got in trouble. But down the road we find in the Word of God that the Bible said there was a division, and there was some fighting, some strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and between the herdmen of Lot's cattle. They both were well off, and so guess what? Here could have caused a great division that could have caused some life-threatening matters. But Abraham looked at Lot, and they said, there's a division, and we're not going to have a division. He said, lift your eyes and look and see what you want, Lot, and what you want is going to be yours. And whatever you don't want, I'll take it for myself. Now I look and see the Word of God, and I honestly believe that Lot looked up and saw the well-watered plains of Sodom, and he said, that's the best looking. And I honestly believe that Lot was selfish in his choice. I believe he thought he's doing himself the best favor, and he's going to get the best land. And probably when he left there, he probably thought he had done Abraham, amen, an injustice to a certain degree, and said, I pull one over on the eyes of him. No doubt he said that. But it wasn't long that Lot got in Sodom and Gomorrah and got in trouble. Now, Abraham looked and saw all the land, and God said, that's what I'm going to give you. I want you just have that land there. You can take that. And Lot went to the wrong place, and Abraham got the best. I found out if you'll just let God pick it out for you, you'll end up getting the best. It may not look like the best, but Brother God will give you the best down the road. He saves the best for those who want to walk by faith. I believe that tonight. I trust God for what He's given me, what He's given me, and what He will give me in the future. Praise be unto His holy name. So you find that they separated and went down the road. And Lot didn't talk about Abraham. He may have laughed about it, amen, that they pulled one over on him. But anyhow, it wasn't long till he changed his mind. And Abraham didn't go down the road talking about Lot. They don't sound like it's too much Baptist. They had too much Baptist in them. Baptists, you know, they fuss and fight. And, you know, they argue at each other. They'll separate. And they had a difference of opinion, but they didn't get disagreeable. Then I look in the Word of God and find in the New Testament two more. There's a man by the name of Paul. And then there's a man by the name of Barnabas. Now, Paul and Barnabas were a great team together. They'd done a lot of great work for God. And so now Paul is fixing to go on his second missionary journey. And Barnabas says, I'll tell you what, Paul, I think I'll go get John Mark and bring John Mark over here, and we'll take John Mark with us. Paul said, I don't want John Mark to go. And Barnabas said, I think he ought to go. Paul said, I don't believe he ought to. Now, both of them had some good reasons for what both of them believed. John Mark was the nephew of Barnabas, and so being a nephew, he thought he ought to take him, you know, family. No doubt Barnabas probably had some family members that said, you ought to take John Mark with you. And maybe he had somebody twist his arm in the background. But now Paul says to himself, this is the reason I don't want him to go. We took him the last time, and when we took him the last time, he just blowed out and went back to the house. He's too young. He's not stable. And so rather than have that happen again, we'll just take somebody else. Barnabas said, no, I believe I'll stick with John Mark. And Paul said, no, I believe I'll say John Mark can't go. So they had such a division, to come to such a time of contention. They didn't get in the fight. But Paul said, here's what we're going to do. We are going to let you and John Mark go and make your own missionary journey. And me and Silas will go to a different place. And that's what they do. But they didn't leave, I don't believe, and talk about the other. They had a difference of opinion. And brother, that's the way I believe saints of God ought to work it out. If you got a problem with somebody, you got a difference of opinion, do not make no contention about it. Don't split the church. People split the church over least little things. It's amazing. Amen. At the things they'll split the church over because they just cannot see eye to eye. Well, we can't see eye to eye. Well, don't chop each other's head off. Amen. We're Christians. We can't live together down here. We're going to have a problem up there. Say amen. Praise God. Some of you come into church with a chip on your shoulder, just daring somebody to knock it off and wish they would, so you can crawl in all four feet, amen, and say, hey, I'm going to claw your eyeballs out like a mountain lion. Amen. And we ought to stay away from that. Brother, we ought to make sure as much as in us is possible that we ought to live peaceable with all men. Everybody in this church ought to be your friend, your brother, your sister in Christ. But you shouldn't have no animosity, no division, nothing in anybody's life. You shouldn't have that in anybody's heart in here tonight. Amen. You should love me. I should love you. We should work together. We should want to work together. We should have no differences. If we have any differences tonight, he said we ought to have the same mind and the same judgment. Let's get in the place of God that we can get it right. Amen? Now, that's not the preaching that most folks like, but it's the kind that we need. I believe that, don't you? Look what he says in verse number 11. Paul said, for it had been declared unto me. Declared. What's that mean? Who had done it? The house of Chloe. They had come to Paul. Now this wasn't hearsay. I do not believe that the Apostle Paul just took what the house of Chloe said to him and went out and jumped on the Corinthian church. I don't believe he did that. I got more respect for the Apostle Paul than that. I do not believe that the Apostle Paul would have preached what he's preaching here in this first chapter had he not known without a doubt that they was having those problems. The house of Chloe had declared them unto him and told him what was going on. Paul looked it over for himself. And he was proved in his heart and in his mind that that's exactly what was going on. So Paul, come on out. And then he said in verse 11, in the bottom of it, he said that there are no contentions, or that there are contentions, excuse me, that there are contentions among you. Now that word contentions, what's that mean? It means factions. It means party spirit. Now, let me make myself clear. When I say party spirit, I'm not talking about the kind that we sit down and eat together and drink. When I say party spirit and contentions, it means it's like the Democrats and the Republicans. There was a faction. There was a division. He said there's some contentions, there's some factions. One's believing one thing, another's believing another thing, and you're separated and you're quit seeing and it's each other's throat. He said, the house of Chloe has told me there's some divisions. And he began to get into this. Amen. He began to talk about it. Matter of fact, he's trying to tell them like this. I come to church and I sit down and I look over and here's one little crowd in the corner sitting over here. They've got their banner. I am of Paul. And I look over here in another little section and they got their banner. I am of Apollos. And I look over here in another little section, and they're waving their banner. I am of Cephas. By the way, that word Cephas is Peter. That's who it is. And so then they look over here, and another said, oh, we are not of them. We are of Christ. We'll talk about them in a minute. So he goes in there, and there's a crowd over there, and a crowd over here, and a crowd over there, and a crowd over here. And they all believe in what they believe and think about what they believe. And they're all in there
that crowd can't get along with this crowd, and this crowd can't get along with that crowd, and that crowd can't get around, and one this crowd can't get around along with all the other three. Amen. Matter of fact, when service is over, the one crowd sitting over here, they get up and shake each other's head. The other crowd, you'd think you had four huddles of a football team. Amen. And they wouldn't even speak to the other unless somebody tripped over them as they went out the door. That makes me think about going to some churches. Brother, looking at them, well, this crowd's over here looking at them, and they won't shake hands with that crowd, and that crowd won't shake hands with the other. And that's basically what Paul was going into. There are some contentions among you. You said, preacher, you're trying to tell us we got contention? Not as I know of. Maybe I ain't been having my glasses on good enough. Maybe there are some since I'm preaching. But maybe the Lord's trying to head us off the path so we won't get that. You go in some churches, some people would not talk to another because that's the poor crowd. Here, that crowd wouldn't talk to them over there because they're a little higher up on the totem pole. And then we got another crowd that's really higher up on the totem pole. And you got divisions. You've got those contentions. You've got those factions. You've got that party spirit where that they're divided and they will not speak to one another. Now, if you ever get to the place that you can't come to the house of God and speak to everybody in this building and feel comfortable speaking to everybody, listen, don't sit down. Just come straight on the altar. Get in the altar. Get it right with God. Confess your sin before God. Get up. And then them that you couldn't talk to when you come in, go shake their hand and hug their neck. And if you can't hug their neck and shake their hand, turn right back around and get back in the altar and get up and go shake. And if you can't do it, then come back to the altar. And if you have to sleep here all night, get it right. And next time when they come to church, then they embrace them and tell them you love them. You may have to stay here a night or two. You understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to get it to the place where God wants us to be. Now, here they were. All had their places, all set in the same little location, locality. The thing about it is, all three of these men were preachers. All three of them were men of God. All three of them had a calling. I believe all three of them were called of God. I believe Apollos was called of God to preach. I believe Paul was called of God to preach. I believe Cephas was called of God to preach. All three of them. Understand that? All right. I was raised in a church that had 17, at one time had 17 preachers in it. 17 young preachers, and every one of them come thinking they had a message. I'm glad I was never the pastor. What a trouble that must have been. I look back now, since I was one of the 17, I must have been a wonderment to the preacher. But you know what? We allowed him to preach, and he was the man of God, and he'd call on us. And every once in a while, he'd pull something sneaky. Pastors do that. We'd come in on a Sunday night, and the preacher'd get up, and he said, "All right, I believe Brother Dennis Deal's going to preach for us. Come on, brother." You said, "Right there? Right there." 17. Said, "I wouldn't want to do that." Amen. It'll stop some of that, amen, contention in the church. And it'll also get you the place where Paul wants you to be, instant in season and out of season. The bad thing sometimes is he'd look over the congregation and say, "Brother Dennis, I want you to come up here and preach tonight for 10 minutes on the Transfiguration. You better know what you're doing." He'd pull a subject on you. He is trying to find out what you know to the Bible. 17 preachers. No wonder out of 17, only 3 or 4 of them ever amounted to anything. I think it ended up being 2. Amen. Rest of them's out of the field. Some of them run off with women. Some of them just quit. And some of them God put in the grave. Understand what I'm saying? Well, that's a little bit off the subject, but let me just mention this where we are. So what? Let's just look at these preachers. All of them were preachers. Let's just look at the different preachers. Let's look at Cephas for a minute. Who was Cephas? Peter. Now let's just look at him. Let's examine him. Let me give you a few things about him. First of all, Peter was a common man. He wasn't nothing extraordinary. Matter of fact, the Bible called him an ignorant and an unlearned fisherman. That's what he was known as, right? He was unlettered. But you'll have to say this about Peter. He was a strong man. When I say strong, I'm not talking about physical. I'm talking about spiritual. He was a strong preacher. Matter of fact, he was a self-willed preacher. When he didn't have nothing else to do, he said, let's just go back fishing. He wanted to stay busy. And he really wasn't sometimes seeking everything the Lord wanted him to do. But he would go on. Matter of fact, Peter was blunt. Nobody was probably any more blunt than Peter was. He told it like it was. He was forceful. He was sharp. What he said sometimes was cutting. Matter of fact, he was pretty good at cutting. He cut off some ears in the Garden of Gethsemane. Somebody said, what did he cut his ear off for? Brother Dr. Oliver B. Green said way back yonder, Peter wasn't aiming to chop off that man's ears. He is planning on splitting him down the head. You're chopping off it, and he missed and got ears. Amen. He is trying to kill him because he's taking Christ. Amen. Somebody said, oh, Peter, somebody, you know, like they say in these days, he called a spade a spade. I mean, he told it like it was. He lays it on the line. He don't back up. Amen. And so they said, that's the kind of preacher that we like. Someone said, we want a preacher that's forceful, that's blunt, down to the truth, led on the line, that don't beat around the bush, just tells it like it is. So we had one crowd said, amen, that's my preacher. That's my preacher. And then we had another one called Apollos. Now Apollos, who is Apollos? You'll find this in the 18th chapter of the book of Acts, and we'll mention that a little later tonight. But Apollos was an Alexandrian Jew. And he was an eloquent man. He was what we would call in our modern day lingo of some of our preachers, silver-tongued. Don't mean he wasn't right with God. He was called of God. It just meant he knew how to dot his I's and cross his T's. When he spoke with great swelling words. And he got it all right. He didn't stutter. He didn't mumble. Amen. Peter might have been one of them hackers. Saved by grace. Ha! Huh. Saved by the grace of God. Ha! Huh. Amen. Somebody said, I don't like that kind of preacher. Don't knock them. Amen. If that ain't your style, you're about the same way here. And I want to share some things with you in just a minute. Amen. Right? Now, Apollos didn't get up and do that. Every sentence he had was well thought out. He didn't do like this old preacher here, run his mouth and say things just keep on and preach it. But he had it all well thought out. And he knew what he was going to say and knew how to say it. Amen. He is a good orator. He knew his vocabulary. He had a good vocabulary. He had some training about him. He had some culture about him. And I believe he's probably one of the best dressed of all the three. And just see Apollos coming in. He's coming in with a nice suit. There's not a wrinkle on it. Every hair's in place. He's got his nice clothes on here. And he's got his handkerchief out here on the coat. And he's got everything. And brother, he's got his long sleeves and his nice, what do you call them things? Cufflinks. And he's debonair. They're looking at, and they'll say, oh, I like that Apollos. He looks like he ain't never, sweated. He never sheds any tears, and he has no sweat on his brow. But when he gets through, you know he said something. Somebody said, that's the kind of preacher I like. So, after hearing Apollos, I don't care where I ever hear Peter again. That's what some of us are saying. Has no stammering words about him. So Apollos is my man. Apollos is my preacher. And the crowd said, oh, well, I don't want Apollos. It's Peter. Peter's my preacher. Are you understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to get it down to where it's at. We're just going over. Now here comes Paul. Now Paul, they look at old Paul, and I'll give you some differences about them in a minute. Here comes the Apostle Paul. The Bible said that they said about Paul, his speech was contemptible. That's what they said about him. They said his speech is contemptible. I believe that the body presence, the bodily presence of Paul was not much to look on. Somehow I kind of think that Paul, and I look at Peter, he comes in, I believe he's dressed in a suit, looks pretty decent. I don't believe he is, I don't believe he was at the place where he just kind of didn't pay no attention to his care. But I believe Paul, when he comes in, he might come in with a suit on. And when he had his suit on in our day, if you look at Paul, he looked like one of them. He weighed about 50 pounds. He had on a suit that didn't fit a 100 pounder. It was kind of a little bit loose. Maybe the pants legs drugged before. You said you don't have no scripture on that. No, and you don't have none against it either. I'm just giving you what I think about the Apostle Paul. According to what I look at it from my mind's eye, let my little boy brain think about this just a minute. I'm trying to show you. Now, Paul was not the best, I guess, looking one. He is sickly. He come in with them little glasses on, and you look at him and said, that Apostle Paul, why, Peter, look at him, he's kind of rugged. And old Paulus, he looks like he's polished. But here comes Paul in. You mean to tell me that little sissified thing can preach? He reminds me of kind of one like that. I don't believe there's anything sissy about Paul. But I believe tonight he reminds you one that he had a voice about him when he spoke. He wasn't strong like Peter was. And he wasn't polished like Apollos was. But I believe he had some compassion in the words that he spoke. And I believe when he come in and shook hands with you, you felt welcome. And I believe you felt comfortable with him. And I believe the Apostle Paul is one that you're glad to be around simply because he identified with the people more than the other two. Now, you may have a different idea about these things, but I'm trying to get you the idea. When he got up to preach, he did not sound eloquent. Because he got up and said, I come not in enticing words of man's wisdom, but I preach in the power and the demonstration of the Holy Ghost of God. He wasn't trying to dot his I's and cross his T's. And matter of fact, he wasn't trying to take a whip like Peter was and slash everybody. But he got up and he had the power of God on him and he preached. And they loved what Paul said. So some of them come out there and said, we like him. And then said, I'll just stay with the apostle. Amen, Apostle Paul. All right? Then you had another little group. One of them said, I don't like Peter and I don't like Paul and I don't like Apollos. I'm for Jesus. You always got that a crowd tonight. I ain't for no preacher. I'm for Jesus. I ain't taking nobody's word, but I got the red lettered edition Bible. I don't care what Paul says, the Apollos says, and Peter says. I'm going to take what Jesus says. And I got news for you. If you don't take what Paul says and what Peter says, amen, you're not taking the Word of God. Amen. I'm trying to tell you, every preacher don't have the same style. If every preacher had the same style, then we wouldn't have but one need but one preacher. God can make one preacher able to reach the entire world. You said, I don't believe that. Then you don't believe the same God I've got. And that ain't the way God chose it. He made us all different. Well, they all had their crowd. They had their division. So on the night that Peter was preaching, some of the Apollos crowd stayed at the house. Some of the Paul crowd stayed at the house. When Paul preached, the Apollos crowd and the Cephas crowd stayed at home. Amen. Now, what are you getting at, preacher? This. Everybody in this congregation's got your own favorite preachers you like to listen to. Amen. You'll listen to them. You probably, some of you don't have over two or three, some of you five or six. I doubt if anybody in here got over 10. Amen, preachers that you like to listen to all the time. Some of you don't even have that many. Understand what I'm saying? All right. Well, we don't have the problem they got in Corinth. You don't? What's wrong? If they're preaching the Word of God, it may not be the style you like, but if they're preaching the Word of God, stand by the men of God. I don't like a preacher sweats. I don't like a preacher slobbers. I don't like a preacher hollers. Fact is, you just don't like much of nothing. Amen. This world would be in a mess if you was doing the calling of the preachers. Ain't you glad you don't? Amen. Now let's look at some things. I want to give you the reason I believe it was. They're looking at how these preachers preached. Let's look at all three of these preachers preached a little different. And the reason they did, you said, you're getting me so confused. I don't even know which one of these I ought to listen to tonight. Peter, Cephas, or Apollos, or Paul. I'm not confusing you. Let's just look at the record. What happened? Peter, what was Peter? Peter was a Jew. So was Paul. Apollos, he was an Alexandrian Jew. These were all Jews. But Peter, what did Peter preach mainly? He preached to the Jews. Peter preached to the Jews. He was the apostle to the Jews. He preached to some Gentiles. He preached to Cornelius' house. I know that. But basically, what did Peter preach on the day of Pentecost? He preached to the Jews and he preached the law. But he preached it as a changing. Peter didn't know much about the grace of God. He'd not been to the Gentiles yet. So he preached, what did he preach? He preached circumcision and the law and those sort of things because that's all he ever known to preach. He learned better down the road. Because it hasn't changed. Go back and study your Bible. It hasn't changed yet. Now here come Apollos, the Alexandrian Jew. What's he preaching? Well, turn over and I'll show you where his problem is. Acts chapter 18. It can tell us out of Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18, we'll read two verses and it'll tell you what Apollos mainly was preaching. He was the one that's sophisticated. The Bible said in Acts chapter 18, verse 24 and 25, this is what it's going to tell us about him. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man, isn't that what I said he was? And mighty in the Scriptures. He was well versed. He was a learned man. You said the Apostle Paul was a learned man. But you would have known Apollos had some education. You would not have known that Paul had any. That's the difference in the two. Came to Ephesus. Verse 25, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord. Now look at this last phrase, knowing only the baptism of John. That's all he knew. So now he's leaning toward the baptism of John. Now you understand where we're coming into 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. They've got a baptism problem. You see that? Amen. Peter, matter of fact, was rebuked in Galatians by the Apostle Paul for trying to get under the law and for circumcision. Study your Bible. And now we find that Apollos is going back to John's baptism. Now when Paul comes through, what's he preach? He's the apostle to the Gentiles and he preaches the gospel of the grace of God. And that's what we're preaching tonight. And he set the standard for it, you see? All right, so we get that. Now, others say, well, I don't know. These factions got together, and they're still around today. Because here, listen to this. Some today want smooth preaching. Some want loud preaching. Some want soft preaching. Some want strong preaching. Some want shouting preaching. Some want glory preaching. And some of them want more preaching, and some want less preaching. Every time I come to church, I'm contending with that. Amen. But I'm not here tonight to try to give you what you want. This is not a restaurant. So we have to depend on God to give us the message. All right? Look at verse 13. Paul says to them, he says here, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? He tries to set it straight. And since baptism was a contentious thing, it's like that. Brother Heath begins to set the record clear. Amen. We got people today goes to church and they're wanting appetizing sermons. You know what an appetizer is, don't you? You go and they get a salad. You used to go get a salad. And they eat the salad. They want you to eat all that salad so you won't eat their buffet up. The lettuce was cheaper. I don't know where it is now or not, but anyhow. That's appetizers. They want appetizers. They don't want sermons. They want appetizers. And then they want sermonettes in this modern day. Am I right? Those that don't want appetizers and sermonettes, what they want is theological studies. They want to get down into the deep things of God. Go down deep and come up dry and dead. Some folks know enough about the Bible. I want you to know they know so much about it, it's just made them crazy. They don't know how to apply it. Understand tonight? Rest of them want some kind of ear-tickling sermon, a pat-on-the-back sermon, or a rosewater sermon, I call it sometimes. They don't want the man of God to open the Word of God and preach it like it ought to be preached. We're living in that day. Well, the religious crowd still does the same thing. One said, I follow after Joseph Smith and Brigham Young. Another said, I follow after Charles Taz Russell. None comes along and said, I follow after Mary Baker Eddy. None comes along and said, I follow after this one and that one. Amen. And I follow after Spurgeon. And I follow after Billy Graham and everything else on the sun. You hear everything. But brother, it's the Word of God we need to preach tonight. If they got the right kind of Bible, I'll listen to them. Amen. If they get out of the Bible, I'll shut them off. Amen. And I won't listen to them again. Now, sometimes they may say something and I disagree with them on some theological thing that don't split hairs. Don't get us a, I'll continue to listen to them. But if they got the wrong Bible and they got the wrong basis of what the Bible is, and it's not salvation by the grace of God, by grace through faith, brother, I'll turn them off. Won't listen to them no more. But amen. They may tell me that they believe Paul was a tall man. Another said it's a short man. I'm not going to argue with them. I didn't see Paul and they didn't see Paul. They don't know and I don't know. It's just what I think and what they think. You understand what I'm saying? But we can split hairs on that. If you listen to preachers and turn them off simply because you don't believe everything they say, then you'll never listen to preaching again. Because I guarantee there'll be things I say sometimes you look at and say, I ain't so sure about that. That's all right. Either one of two things is going to happen. You're going to learn better and change your mind, or God's going to get a hold of the preacher if you pray hard enough, and he's going to change his mind because God has the answer. Or it ain't going to amount to a hill of beans. We go on down the road. Amen. We can be disagreeable and have a difference of opinion and still stay right with God. All right. They had division on baptism. Amen. Well, I know what they said. One said, well, I'm a Paul because he baptized me. And it's good to think about sometimes when a preacher baptizes you. Hey, that's okay. It's easy to fall after that preacher. But don't ever get to following preachers. It's not preachers we're to follow. We're to follow the Lord Jesus. If He's preaching Christ, then follow the Christ that He's preaching and not the preacher. Amen. Nothing wrong if you like preachers, certain ones. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, the only thing that I have a problem with is for hirelings and their false prophets. Then you shouldn't listen to them. That's why I expose them. Sometimes in the pulpits, because I don't want you following them. You get in trouble with it. Amen. I know there's a lot of little wimp preachers around that won't preach the whole counsel of God. And I'm not telling you they're not men of God. I'm just telling you we ought to pray that God give them more light, that they'd start preaching more. Amen. I think about the little hillbilly preachers. I call them hillbilly preachers right here in the mountains. Up here in these hills, there's a lot of preachers don't preach all that they should preach. But I believe they're preaching all that they know to preach. I believe they're preaching everything that they've got knowledge of. They either not studying and not desiring to know any more about it, and they starve their people to death, and I believe they ought to study to show themselves approved unto God. Amen. I walked in my office the other day and I told my wife, I said, I'm going back here. I'm trying to get myself a doctorate from the Lord. I don't care if man ever bestows anything on me. But I want God to give me a doctorate before I die. Amen. You said that may never happen. It may not. But that don't stop me from trying. Because I'm going to be a man of study to be, you know, where I need to be for God. Study to show myself approved unto God, not men, not the church, not to others, not to the family, but to God. Amen. And every time I go into study, I tell the Lord how stupid I am. Amen. And I sometimes have got to the place I thought I was learning. And then the Lord turn a page in the Bible, and I go back to a verse I've been on 100 times. And then I look at that and I say, I can preach 2 hours on that. And I never had seen it before. And I find out I don't know much at all about the Bible. I haven't mastered it yet, have you? But I'm enjoying it. It's exciting. Praise God. I want to know how much we can get crammed in these little brains. I'd like to find out, wouldn't you? Amen. All right. So we look at it. Well, we still got that problem with baptism and so forth. You know, we've got people today who think, well, we need to be sprinkled. None said, well, we need to be dipped. None said we need to be immersed. Amen. Then we need to be baptized in the name of Jesus only. Then we're not baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and everybody's so confused they don't know what to do. Paul said, let me tell you something. You split the church and you've argued about this thing, and your problem is that it's baptism. And the reason I say it's baptism is because Paul said, I don't know of any I baptize other than these three families. Amen. He mentioned the three families there. You can go back and read them. Paul's saying you got problems there. That seems to be the contention that they had here, was the baptizing. And Paul said, hey, I want to prove one thing to you. God did not send me, in verse number 17, look, for Christ sent me not to baptize. He didn't come to baptize. The Lord did not send me to baptize. Does not mean tonight that Paul shouldn't baptize. Does not mean tonight that Paul was wrong in baptizing the ones above that. But he's saying this, but to preach the gospel, he said, the emphasis should not be put on baptism. The emphasis is to be put on the preaching of the Word of God. And so that's what it is preaching. And that's what we ought to major on. Yeah, it's good. We ought to be baptized, not for salvation, but for service. And I've taught that down through the years and nothing got away from it. Don't want to change that now. But I'm telling you, now who was right in all these? Paul. What happened? The rest of the book of 1 Corinthians, Apollos kind of fades out off the scene. Peter fades off the scene. They spent their time, they've done their work. And now the Apostle Paul come through, and I'll tell you what, you'll be all right to follow any preacher that preaches like the Apostle Paul. Amen. And if you don't preach like the Apostle Paul, leave him alone. Is that good instruction? Amen. If he's preaching what Paul's preaching, stay with him. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Amen. Preaching is the main business of the church. The main business of the church. We shouldn't get into anything else. It's through the preaching of the Word of God that God has chose to save men and women. The foolishness of preaching. Amen. And that's what we need. More preaching.